Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you're getting ready to throw something tasty on that grill or smoker. I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, what's cooking is family reunions all across this great country.
Rebellions. Family rebellions. Yeah.
All across the fruited plains. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It is the Grilling Guys, and so it must be the weekend. And we're so happy that you're tuning in to let us pipe off a little bit here.
Yeah, so family rebellions. Gosh, I haven't had one in a couple of years, Bob, but I can remember back to a time when the family all knows that you're a grilling guy on the radio, so therefore you get all the grilling duties when you show up. And so there's a certain number of the people in the family that'll huddle around because, one, they either want to see you, but probably, two, they want morsels off the grill
right. As
you're putting stuff together.
Good place to hang out.
Right, and it's a good place to hang out. And don't know about your family reunion, but there's always a little beer drinking going on at mine. And they know.
Mine are in the UP, so that's just a standard.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But so there's always a little, one arm grilling going on.
For those of you who are not from Michigan, the UP is the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Michigan is made up of two peninsulas. It's a cool state.
I think
like really, really unique in that way. But
that big grilling mitt.
That top portion is called the UP. So anybody from there is called a Uper.
Right.
And my family comes from the far west end. You can just about see Minnesota from where our farm is.
You and Sarah Palin, right? Yeah. Seeing Russia from up there.
Yeah, but, just like that.
Yeah.
anyway, so I had some crazy stuff going on this week. You came over and grilled with me to celebrate my birthday, and that was fun. Hung out at the pool.
Yep. For those of you that last weekend was Barbecue Bob's 60th birthday, so we are celebrating a little bit and got together, had some nice surf and turf.
Some Geritol.
Right. <yeah. laughs> You're going to need some of that house project you got going. I'm sure we'll get into that later because we had a little burst of rain this week. Did you stay dry?
Yeah, a great story there. My son Alex and Jordan, they've been real helpful at the house, so they're getting all the favors from me they can to get paybacks. And so Alex hits me up the other night because we celebrated Maureen's birthday on the 2nd.
Right.
So we had a couple over for her birthday. And as he's getting ready to leave for Detroit, he's got guard duty for a couple days, and then he ships off for 3 weeks for sergeant school. So he comes up to me and says, hey, you mind if you swap me Jeeps? Because I got to go to Detroit, and I don't really want to drive the Wrangler over there. And I'm like, so sure. So of course, I'm driving the Wrangler with just a top
right
in the rain now for a couple of days, and that was not in the plan.
Clean that old soul is what that'll
do. That's a squirrely little thing. It's going on the auction block if anybody wants a good deal on a 94 Jeep Wrangler. Call me. It's going on Craigslist. But I spent some time building my bunker. We're adding on to the front of the house, as you saw when you were over, and so there's a basement, and then there's a basement in front of it under the front porch, which I'm making into a gun safe.
Right.
Right?
A lot of people, when they build, they fill that with sand because they're going to pour a cement cap on top of it. But you've decided to use it as
I bought a little more concrete.
Yep.
And to my wife's chagrin, she was dead set against the basements on the front of the house. We have too much basement already, blah, blah, blah. She's listening now. She'll be mad. But as it turns out, now all of a sudden, that extra basement space, she's finding room for all kinds of things. So I'm losing half of it right off the bat. But so I'm framing all that in. And the hottest day of the week, I'm framing down there, and it's muggy. And the carpenters.
Well, you're below ground. There's zero air movement.
Yeah, right. The carpenters are upstairs banging away, and I'm down there just with a sledgehammer beating walls over. And it was quite the sight to see.
So the bunker is for what, though? Right, because this is kind of interesting what you've decided to do with
it. Well, under the porch, there'll be a cement cap, and then I'm ordered a fire-rated door with an electronic lock so I can have a giant safe.
Right. Yeah, and that's the cool part.
We put all our photo albums and anything you don't want. I put a hole in the wall for a dehumidifier drain so I can keep it nice and dry, climate controlled, and just a cool little thing. But
right.
Yeah, so it's a lot of work when you remodel a house.
Oh, man. Well, you know, that's kind of what we do, and it is a lot of work. Takes a big plan. Takes a lot of different contractors. Brian and our producer and I were talking about it, and they're remodeling the studios here where we are. And I'm like, geez, looks like they're getting ready to do this one. Well, the painters are the toughest guys to get this time of year because they paint on the inside all year round, but in the summer, spring, summer, and fall, they paint outside. Right, so they got double duty. Any projects that get painted on the outside get pushed to that summer season. So those guys work their tails off.
Good luck getting them.
Yeah, good luck getting on their schedule. And heaven forbid if you get a delay, you got to reschedule them. It's crazy.
Yeah, sorry about that. I have a couple of shout-outs. I'd like to give a good shout-out to a guy called Big Lou. If you listen to Sirius or any of these radio stations that have Big Lou, he's on meds too. He's on wife number two, whatever. It's a great ad campaign. But I had to get a new life insurance policy because I had a term policy that was expiring.
At age 60.
So I called Big Lou.
Oh.
The guys are fantastic. They got me through with the rates they promised.
Even though you have these maladies, we'll call them, and some other insurers may not like.
I have none. I have my cholesterol is great. Blood pressure's perfect. They gave me the healthiest rating.
Did they?
Which
did,
was
they
awesome.
They didn't check for an overload of protein from all the meat you grill, or
no, but they
maybe
sent
a little extra alcohol from the microbrews we have.
They sent a very nice nurse to the house who gave me a very thorough exam.
Okay.
And
Maureen was okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was gone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. No wonder your rates were good.
She was a hottie. Anyway, I got an awesome physical back and. So shout out to Big Lou, and I'd like to do something here, and do something on the first segment of the show, and this is the first time I've talked to you about it. So
here we go.
Tell
we're
me
going
if you
off
like
the cuff.
It. I want to do a meat man's shout out. So if you have a butcher in your area or somebody that provides meat, and there's grilling contests, anything like that, send it in to us, and we want to give you in your neighborhood, no matter what state you're in or what neighborhood, we want to give a shout out to the favorite teams, and we have a team here in Grand Rapids that's going on today. It's the 8th annual Old Mission Barbecue Challenge, and I just want to give a shout-out to those guys because it's a bunch of dads who've been doing this for like 10 years now.
Or maybe 8, because it's the 8th annual?
I'm sorry. I can't read and talk at the same time. But these guys have been getting together for years, and it's growing into quite the neighborhood bash.
So, well, what is it? It's like a grilling contest, right?
Yeah,
these guys get together and create a little grill envy in the neighborhood and see whose tongs are bigger,
yes,
right? Yeah, I get it. I get it. That is a lot of fun. We get into a chili contest like that in the fall where...
that's grown to be a big deal, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but this would be fun because it's just your neighborhood buds.
I think there's 10 teams. I think that's the 10 I remember. There's 10 teams now. And it is the 8th annual, and it's called the Old Mission Barbecue Challenge.
And if you,
so
any
good
of
for
you,
them.
Right. If any of you guys got something going on like that in your neighborhood, hit us on Facebook or send Bob a tweet or whatever you want to do.
Through the website, you can even just contact Jop or contact Bob on the website. That's thegrillingguys.com, and that's our site. All these recipes, most of them we do post. We had about 20 of them last week. We didn't post any of them.
Right.
But we've got a good one for you this week for your family reunion. You can post. We'll post it up here this morning.
Coming up next, we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the food that you might want to bring to the family reunion. We might explode your kapusta. Stick with us. We'll be back. If the boot fits. Whoa, whoa, diamonds in the sky lighting up those eyes like whoa. Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
The Grilling Guys, appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And man, Bob, you just gave me one of these meat sticks from our butcher, and man, this is good on a early start to my day.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying this.
Tim Sobey.
Yeah, Sobey Meats. Gotta love my meat sticks. So one of my favorite thing.
Some great bumper music there, Brian. Old Stud Leroy, man, he's quite a horse.
Yeah.
So the main thing that you got to do at a family reunion is show up your cousins. I'm bound and determined to make sure that that point makes it, because that's really what it comes down to. You're all kids together. You grew up cuz, and now you're all dads showing up, and you really need to, you want to smoke them on the grill, right?
Right. Or at least that's where that's where it goes in my family, too.
You want your food disappearing.
Yeah.
You don't want to walk out with a big tray. Oh, I've got a bunch of these left over. Yeah, no, thanks. No, full, really full. Really. Ooh, they were great. So what we want to do is tune you up for that and maybe give you some ideas of some things to bring to family reunions. And in my opinion, family reunions are kind of ethnic.
Well, it depends on the ethnicity of your family. But
well,
yeah,
it's ethnic. You have a culture right. That you grew up in, and there's whatever it is, Polish, you're Dutch, I don't know. They don't probably cook much.
Oh, no. That's why I'm 240 at 5'11". Right. Because we don't cook much.
Big Lou, he's got a policy for you.
He might not. He might not like me, man. Got one too many meat sticks in you, boy.
You're on meds, too.
Yeah.
Oh, wife number two. That's a great jingle. I just love it. Sorry.
Yeah.
But so you want to show up your cousins, and some of the things, different ethnicities now, we're Finnish and French and Swedish, so those dishes all come in like that, like pickled herring.
Oh, yeah.
That's a thing, and it's a thing in my family. I was never a fan of it, but it's my aunts and uncles, that was a thing.
So the pickled is the clear, the vinegar base, and the creamed herring is the white, like mayonnaise base.
It's like yogurt or something. I don't know what they put in it. Cream of some sort. But I think that has vinegar too.
So here's one that always happens in the family reunion, and this herring would be a great spot to go with that, is that the pickled herring is a prepared food, and so is the creamed. But the creamed, you got to keep cold.
Yes.
The pickled, you can eat it at room temperature, and it's not going to hurt it any because of the vinegar base that's in there. But anything with those creams on it, when you go to the warm park, the county park, wherever it is that you're going, food safety is a big deal, because you don't want to be that cousin.
Come on.
You don't want to be that cousin that brought the trots to the party.
You're not going
to
sit there and try and convince us that fish and cream and warm weather is a bad idea. There's an outhouse right around the park.
Yeah,
there.
Right. Yeah. Unless your cousin owns the outhouse company, you probably don't want to do that.
You'll be
right?
using it.
Yeah.
So a big one in my wife's family, being that they're half Lebanese, is shish kebabs.
Okay.
And we cover those too much. Of course, another thing in mine is pasties. Somebody always brings pasties.
Even in the summer?
Yeah.
I fancy that as a cold weather dish rather than a summer dish.
When it's part of your tradition and your heritage, right. you have to have it.
Yep.
And just ketchup.
Yeah. Right. Gravy's too warm for the summer.
So another one that my mother used to love Polish food, and she used to make kapusta.
Right.
And I personally now love it. I didn't as a kid, but now I find it to be a fabulous thing.
So those that don't know what that is, what's in a kapusta?
Well, it's a fancy sauerkraut with sugar base. So it's a sweet sauerkraut, and it's got, I think, little bits of ham and, I don't know, all kinds of goodness in it. It's very colorful.
Sometimes there's something, a little red cabbage in
there.
There's
some red something in it, yeah.
Right, yep, the white and the red cabbage.
I was thinking it was like pimento or red pepper or something they chop up and put in it, too.
But it's a sauerkraut, so again, it's a vinegar-based
yep.
Dish that travels real well in the heat.
Yep.
And that's why these dishes are better. But as far as the proteins go, you know, I was reading an article this week about chicken, in that the average chicken is 6 to 8 weeks old when it hits the meat counter in the in a store.
That's
big
terrible.
Box store.
That's terrible.
Well, and the thing is with that is that, and I don't want to get too gross about this, but when they're that young, I mean, this is a common practice, right? That they grow these things this quick and
pump them with steroids,
right? And I don't know about that, but where I was going with it is that everybody thinks that pink chicken is bad chicken. Okay, and as a rule of thumb, it is, unless you get it to temperature, and the temperature being 165 degrees. Where I'm going is with these young chickens, the bones have not calcified yet in the chicken, so the bones can be a little bit pink, even though these things are cooked to 165 degrees.
You saw that on Facebook, didn't you?
I did.
I did too.
And it was from our friends at Thermapen.
Right.
And these are people that take temperature and meat very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. It's their business. And I read through this whole thing and found it very interesting because it isn't always necessarily the case if there's a little pinkness by the bone in chicken that it means it's not done.
Right.
If you're using your Thermapen to temp it.
Right.
Long way around this story is when you're at the Family Rebellion, then make sure you bring your digital thermometer for anything you're turning off the grill, because usually you've got to plow a bunch of food through the grill
right.
in a hurry.
And you're in a park, so right. it's one of those little bitty charcoal stand-up
or
post
something
jobs.
You brought with yep. you that was very, very
either
portable.
Way, it's not going to be what you're used to using at home.
Right. So that Thermapen or a digital thermometer like one is very important, because even if it's bratwurst, right, you don't want to serve raw ground pork. You don't want to poke them too many times, because you're going to let all the juice out, and then you're eating really dried out, you know, sausages. But at the end of the day, that thermometer is very, very important at the family reunion.
Cool. That's a good idea. And there's no other than Thermapen. That's just the only one you use.
Right, right. It's a great product. Instant read. You, within 2 seconds of sticking the end of that probe in a piece of meat or anything, you got an accurate temperature. And
if
you
it
know
says
where
China
at.
On the package, you don't want it.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
That's all there is to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, well, it's Utah, right, is where those yeah. Thermapens are made. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but anyway. They're not a sponsor. It's a great product. And when we find a great product, we like to let everybody know what's going on.
So here's a cool one for a family reunion, a bacon explosion. Because again, you're trying to beat the cousins, right?
Right.
How many of your cousins know how to make a proper bacon explosion?
Well, they're going to learn now. Tell them.
Yeah. So we've covered it a bunch of times, but you might be a new listener. Anyway, I use my local butcher's breakfast sausage, but if you don't have a good local sausage, Jimmy Dean is the go-to sausage.
And you're talking the round ones.
Yep, you get a 1 pound tube of Jimmy Dean
in the plastic. Yep,
and basically a package of thin bacon, thinly sliced bacon, 1 pound, and you make a weave out of the bacon. You know, you lay. I think you get about seven. Mm-hmm. I think you get about 14 strips in a pack. So you lay seven up and down and then seven across, and you weave them back and forth by lifting them up and sliding them through. And
right.
there's a little process you'll develop as you do that. You'll get real good at it. And then you put that on top of wax paper so you can lift it up. Then you take another piece of wax paper, and you take that tube of Jimmy Dean's, and you smash it down to make a rectangle that's going to fit roughly over that inside of that bacon, a smaller version.
So you're
looking
at maybe like a half inch thick.
Probably.
Just slam it down to and get it in a little rectangle.
Yep, and then you want to put a little spice on there, whatever profile you want to go with. I put lots of little goodies in mine, but one thing that's really good for a binder is some sort of a cheese, and a Mexican blend works really well. The white and the cheddar and stuff blended works really well. Parmesan turns out pretty good. Asiago, anything like that will melt down and kind of hold that meat together. And then I like to put spinach leaves in, or maybe some carrot strips or some asparagus or green garden onions. Green onions are fantastic in the middle of it. And then you lay those across, and then you roll that with that wax paper. You roll that sausage up to make kind of like a those jelly rolls used to look, whatever they called them, you know. So
that, I think they were jelly rolls. Yeah, it looks like that.
Yeah, it looks like that. And then you place that, lift it up with the wax paper, and you place that on top of the bacon. Make sure the wax paper is removed.
Yeah.
And then you lift up the wax paper on the bacon, and you roll this thing up, and then you peel the wax paper off, and you take that bacon and kind of tuck it in on the ends and make it look real nice. And then you set it on the indirect side of the grill, and you smoke that baby for about an hour and a half.
Right. Again, internal temperature, you're looking at pork sausage. You want that up to about 165 degrees.
Yep.
When that temps out, your bacon will be shrunk down, and it'll be
gorgeous. Gorgeous.
I've got another.
You can actually sprinkle a little brown sugar on top of that, too.
Yeah. When we come back, I'm going to do another insert into your explosion. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying higher than a jet airliner. And if you want a little bang in your yin-yang, come along.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com. Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from The Grillin' Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's S-A-F-F-I-R-E at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. A couple knuckleheads just talking about the stuff that we love to do, and that's grilling smoke, meat, and other things. I want to follow up on Barbecue Bob's bacon explosion from the last segment and say I've done one that's more breakfast-focused where I diced up some small potatoes, almost not hash browns, but the little cubes.
Sure.
Put in a little red and green pepper and a little bit of onion, and then saute that down with some Old World Olive Company olive oil, maybe garlic olive oil, and make that little hash, if you will. Spread that on the inside, sprinkle it with some sharp cheddar cheese, then roll that thing up, wrap it in the bacon, and just like Bob said, cook it for an hour and a half.
So then what you'd probably want to do is you'd want to spread that mixture out over that sausage, because if you leave it in a big thick row, being that it's all small bits,
right,
when you cut it, it's just going to fall apart.
That's correct.
So you'd want to spread that out a little bit.
Right, so you get a layer of it in that whole jelly roll looking thing, if you can picture that.
And pinwheel.
Yeah, pinwheel. And fabulous, though. I mean, it works good. So these things are, they play through all throughout the day.
Oh, yeah.
If you show up at the Family Rebellion and you got to grill some stuff, you might throw this thing on before you get there, and this is what the cuzzes get when they first walk up, is you take a little slice of that and hand it out, and you got your grill treat.
You just
got
to make sure everybody sees it, though, because it's a thing of beauty.
Right. Well, you could take a picture and say, here's what you're eating. Right, yeah.
You know, something that works out really well on the grill that I started doing long ago, they actually make cast iron. Our friends at Lodge make cast iron trays for meatballs, but you can actually grill meatballs just on your grill. Mm-hmm. And you want to be careful to use a low to medium heat, because they won't be done inside. They'll get too crispy on the outside. They'll want to burn because meatballs take a while. If you ever watch mom do it,
right?
That's a slow process. But this is a tried and true recipe. It's an evolution, I'd call it. But because the first time you try making meatballs, they're probably kind of dry and hard and tough. And
is this from the Full Belly Deli?
No. This is from
a different one?
From, it's an evolution from Adeline, from my mother.
Okay.
I use ground chuck and regular breadcrumbs, Progresso regular, not the seasoned, but just regular Progresso breadcrumbs. 4 eggs.
So you're a pound of chuck and about a half a cup of the crumbs.
Yep.
So to get the 4 eggs.
And then 4 eggs, half a cup of milk, 3/4 of a cup of Romano cheese or Parmesan or Asiago, one of those three. I like to go with an Italian blend to it because this is kind of an Italian meatball.
Okay.
Again, ethnic, and being my little Swedish and French mother wasn't Italian. She grew up with a lot of Italians in the UP, and those people all traded recipes, and this was something she loved to make. A medium onion, some garlic, parsley, basil. That's all there is in it. And, of course, a little salt and pepper, which I forgot to type in here.
Yeah, always there, though.
But so you take that onion, about a half a cup, I'd say, and I'm guessing at some of these, because she used her hand. And she didn't use a food processor. She chopped it with a knife. I've refined it because my wife has a really nice food processor. So you take the onion and the garlic and you throw it in your food processor and you just pulse it a few times to get it really fine. Don't pulse it so much that you start getting a bunch of liquid. Then you overdid it. If you do that, you got to drain the liquid off before you pour it in your mixing bowl. All right. And then you chop up 1/4 cup of parsley, fresh, and fresh basil. Now, we grow this in our garden. You can get it all over this time of year. But you cut the stems off the parsley. You don't want the stems.
They're a little bitter.
Yeah.
The stems are. You want the leaves.
And yeah. So you throw that in the processor and you chop that up. And then you take this mixture, put it in a bowl. You throw in your eggs, your bread, and you meld it together. What you don't want to ever do when you're doing meatballs or meatloaf is you don't ever want to work the heck out of it. Because what will happen is it'll actually make that meat kind of tough. It's weird. I'm not sure quite how that happens. But the other thing is when you're forming up your meatballs, you just want to kind of grab them gently and make just a nice little round ball out of it.
Are you like tennis ball or golf ball size?
Whatever you like. You know,
the bigger they are, the longer they're going to take to cook.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But the smaller ones also, you got to watch your grates because they're going to shrink. And they might, depending on your grill, they might want to fall through the grates. But the key is to get it to the right consistency so that you can turn it on your grill, because you're going to want to turn it halfway through after about, I don't know, 8-10 minutes maybe, and then flip it over and do it and get some nice grill marks on it. And my mouth's watering right now. I love meatballs, and this is a fantastic, cool thing to do on a grill that nobody's going to expect because everybody else has hamburgers and hot dogs.
Yeah, you want to throw a curveball at them, throw the Scottish egg option on them because that looks like a meatball, but it's got that hard-boiled egg in the center. We do those a lot. It's more of a fall recipe. That I see those as hunting camp.
You like them at deer camp.
Yeah, I love them at deer camp, but that is a meatball of sort kind of thing. But, you know, the meatballs are good because they go a long ways. There's actually quite a little bit of meat in each one of those things, and you can do one or two a person, and you should be just fine.
But if you do them on the grill, you get this extra punch that's just fantastic. This happens to be a really nice herbal blend here for these.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real simple, but it's just the way that I've always seen it made. But when you put them on the grill along with that cheese, it's a fantastic combo. You can take that same meat mixture and you can make a meatloaf out of it.
Right.
The exact same mixture.
You're just putting it in one ball rather than
you're
going to
make a
ones.
Loaf out of it. And then I would use, personally, what I do is a pizza stone. And I do it on my grill lots of times.
And what does that do? In my mind, if I put it on a pizza stone, one, I've got a hot, even surface underneath it. Two, it's not going to flare up. And three, as the fat renders out of it, it's going to run away.
Very nicely.
And we're all going to have just this baked piece of meatloaf.
Very nicely.
Without a pan.
The fat drips down into the fire. The fire can't find its way back to the protein source, so you don't end up with a fire, but that fat drips onto your coals and adds a beautiful savory taste to your food. That's what you're looking for.
When you're using that pizza stone, you're creating more of a convective oven in your grill, and you want to leave the lid down and not look at it.
Right.
Set the thing on medium to medium-high heat because you want like a 350 if you were doing it in the oven.
Yep.
Right? And if you're using charcoal, just control the air till your temp shows the right. Yep. Leave the lid down and let it go for an hour. You aren't going to hurt it any. There's nothing going to be wrong with that. Everything's going to be right, and you're going to get that wonderful flavor.
That's right. So that's something at a family reunion when you bring that tray out and put that baby on the table.
Right.
You know, you might garnish it with a little something, but that's going to smell so good. And I mean, everybody loves meatloaf.
Right.
It's us folks who grew up in like blue collar families, especially, or middle class America, that was like probably once a week on our
table. Because it's an affordable grill item or affordable item, period, that feeds a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you never make a small meatloaf. You make a big meatloaf.
That's right.
It's a loaf, right?
So do you put ketchup on yours before you bake it?
No.
My mother used to.
Yeah. I do it to like the last 15 minutes maybe, just in a thin coat to get a little glaze on it. But
it does add something pretty cool to it.
Yeah, right.
But we're ketchup people. We put ketchup, as you know, on everything.
Right.
My kids, it's pretty funny. I'm now converted to like a salsa person, but my kids will bury things in ketchup. It's disgusting.
You know what the crazy one that I do is mac and cheese, and people look at me like I'm crazy.
Ooh.
But yeah, that's one of that tangy tomato on that sweet cheesy. Yeah, I know it's weird, but that's one that, and I like it better cold than I do warm.
Cold mac and cheese with ketchup.
Yeah, making my mouth water right now as I'm sitting here.
Hey, it takes all types.
That's
man.
Right. Coming up next, we're going to pre-make some barbecue for your family rebellion so that you can sit back and relax and watch everybody eat your goodies. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's garrettsappliances.com, garrettsappliances.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Welcome back. I need a beer, Barbecue Bob. This is the second meat stick I've had on the break, and I'm just like craving a microbrewed beer right now. You know, maybe a Schmoe's John T. Pilsner. Might go really good with this. Anyway.
You okay?
I am, but I'm okay. Just going to keep eating this meat stick while you take over.
I'll do that. Another thing you can do if you want to enjoy your family instead of spending too much time working on the food or waiting in line for the grill is pre-make it. And whatever it's going to be, whether you grill some wings, smoke some wings, some butts, brisket butts, those things in particular, or country ribs, work really nice if you have a day in advance and access to your smoker or egg or griddle, kettle or whatever you use to smoke. And then you can take a really well-insulated small cooler and throw that food in there, wrap it in foil, throw it in that cooler, and bring it to your family reunion and keep it in the cooler because that'll keep it really warm. And I find in particular pulled pork is just really popular with a lot of people. It's cheap. You can get a pork shoulder for $1.79. They've gone up. They used to be like $1.09, $1.29. But still, $1.79, that's right. Dirt cheap. You can do the same thing with like a loin, a pork loin.
I had one of those last night. One of the tenderloins, the little ones that are about the size of a tennis ball, maybe like 8-9 inches long, just perfect for three people. Threw it on the grill 15 minutes later, rolled it a couple times, and came seasoned right from the store. And, you know, I put it on there, a little salt and pepper, and it was good to go.
They're pretty good with those. Mm-hmm. But that'd be another thing you could pre-make and bring it in your cooler.
Slice it up because you can serve that cold, and it's just as good. That dry cooler. That is a great trick that I think it's worth mentioning, in that a cooler is actually more efficient at keeping things hot than it is cold if you leave the lid down. So we do this all the time when we cater in the fall for tailgates. We'll pull the butts off in the morning at like 5, 6 in the morning, right? And they're at our 190 degrees that we pull them off at, wrap them up in foil, put them in a cooler, and just let them set. Don't open the cooler. We'll serve them at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and they're still temping out at that 180, 185 degrees, and there's nothing wrong with them. So you can store that a long time in a dry cooler with nothing in it. Just keep the lid down, and you'll
especially
be fine.
If you get one of those Igloo 5-day coolers, those hold your ice for 5 days. Those really keep your meat. I'll warn you, though, you're gonna etch that plastic, and it's going to smell like barbecue
forever.
Perpetuity.
Yeah, it'll be your barbecue cooler. From them forward, because what happens is the juices come out of the foil,
yeah,
and then they get in the bottom of the cooler, and you just can't clean it out of there. I don't care what you do.
No.
It's there.
You can bleach it all you want. It'll come back. Another thing that's pretty cool, and you don't even have to grill these, but you can actually bake a bunch of chicken wings in advance and put whatever spices you want on them, bake them to about nice.
Or smoke them.
And then let them cool off, throw them in the fridge, and bring them in on ice, and then just warm them up on the grill and get your grill marks and then finish them off with a glaze.
Crisp up that works, skin a little bit.
That works really nice. That's way better than bringing raw wings to an event like that because, again,
it takes too long.
Well, it takes too long, and you're running the risk that you don't have even temperatures on that surface, and you might pull one or two off, and you might not poison somebody, but they might pull it open and see blood in a joint and freak out and go, wow, he doesn't know what he's doing. So, again, it's all about impressing the cousins or actually defeating them.
I'm going on the food safety side of that issue again because I hate bringing raw chicken to a place where I don't have a sink to clean up with.
Right.
Because you that chicken juice and warm temperature are enemies to you, and you do not want to bring this to a barbecue where you're handling raw chicken.
There is,
and then you're going to put it on a grill.
Yeah, there are some things you can, you've got one right in front of you, actually. Lysol makes those nice little wipes, and they've got Clorox or something in it, you know, bleach, and those are pretty good, actually, if you're out in a picnic. That's probably another must-have thing to take to a family reunion because you can wash your stuff up, and especially from those bacteria you were talking about.
But where I'm at is I don't want to wipe my cutting board with that and then use it again when the product comes off if I got to cut, right? I got to have a different cutting board and different knives for raw product versus the cooked product if I don't have a sink in between, right? Because I don't want to wipe a chlorine bleach on a cutting board and then put a finished product on it without rinsing it off.
You can rinse it.
Right. Yeah. But if you're at the park and you don't have water, that's where I'm
maybe
going.
Somebody brings like a Bud Light or something, you know, use that to rinse your board.
It'd be better than drinking it. I get it. So you might as well use it to rinse your board off. Yeah.
So
beef brisket, Bob. Does beef brisket travel well?
Beautifully.
Right. Same thing in a dry cooler.
I traveled some last night.
Did you?
I did. I did a wedding rehearsal dinner. I brought some barbecue to a friend's daughter's house. A friend's house for his daughter's wedding, I should say. And the brisket packs up beautifully. Actually, it works really nicely because I double foil them on my final wrap, and then they actually sit perfectly in the bottom of that medium-sized five-day cooler I've got. So that's a really well-traveled food right there.
Right.
You can actually put that stuff in there. And what I'll do is I'll very often put a couple plastic bags in that cooler. So I'm actually putting it in a big garbage bag, and I'll set that over the cooler and put everything in there, and then I'll seal that thing up, twist tie it,
right.
And then I can put other things in the cooler on top of the hot food if I want to keep them warm, and they won't really meld flavors.
That's it, and that bag in there prevents you from etching your cooler.
Well, it also makes the cleanup way better.
Right. Right. Super easy
two
tip.
Two bags.
But a double bagged of trash bags.
I'm a double bagger.
Right. I know. No coyotes. Just a double bagger. I get it. But anyway, so Family Rebellions aren't all for the proteins, but Grilling Guys are the ones that bring them. You know, simple little desserts. Everybody likes a dessert. They think that it's, you know, you walk down to the end of the table where all the desserts are and there's nothing grilled there. It's all something that came in a Tupperware with
way too many of
whipped cream and marshmallows and fruit,
yeah.
Right? And you know, bring a bunch of bananas. Grill those bananas on that hot grill. Super easy. Cut them in half. Put them on there, meat side down. Get a grill mark on them. Flip them over till they get hot. A little caramel sauce, right? Just ice cream caramel
or
sauce.
Or a Hershey bar. Break the little chips off and place those on there.
Right,
let them melt.
But those are a cool little way because you'll know when they're done. You grab a hold of the banana peel and give a little tug with your tongs. If it starts to slide out from under the banana, it's done. And then you can just put those things on a paper plate. People will go, wow, I've never had a grilled banana before. They're awesome.
So how about beer? What beer are you going to bring to a family reunion?
Probably not my favorite, only because it's a quantity thing,
right.
Is that there's always the cuz or the brother-in-law that didn't bring his, right? And I'm not stingy with my beer, but
kind of sounds like it, right?
But when
there.
You get to one of those
you
deals,
you think so, Brian? That sounded kind of stingy.
I don't know, man. It's all about quantity because when you get to one of those, you're going to want to offer a cuz or a brother or whoever a beer, right? So
second,
I might
second best. Huh?
Yeah, it's for me. I'm that guy, right? But it'll be good beer because I don't bring bad beer.
We did say you were Dutch.
Right. I don't bring bad beer, but I might not bring my best beer.
At our family reunions, it's usually Old Style.
Is it?
Yeah. That's a Uper beer.
Well, sure.
Old Style. And you know what? Blatt's or a Pabst also would be.
PBR is making a huge comeback.
Very much in vogue.
Yeah. PBR is making a huge comeback.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cult beer now for the college kids.
Right.
Watermelon? It's always been a good beer.
Watermelon's another one that's real popular at the Family Rebellions.
And you can grill that.
Right? And it's really good. It concentrates the flavors, gets it a little bit more sweeter. And when you slide a piece of watermelon across the table that's got grill marks on it, it'll be impressive. I guarantee it, because a lot of people would never, ever have thought to grill watermelon.
You know, if you are bringing a hot cooler and you wanted to make some southern mac and cheese and you were throwing a brisket on the bottom of that cooler.
Right.
If you had the right pan that would fit right on top of that brisket, you could set a nice big tray of southern mac and cheese and bring that. If you're partial to making it, we've got some recipes on our website. It's thegrillingguys.com. Also, follow us on Facebook if you haven't yet. If you're on Facebook, /thegrillingguys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy.
And if you're looking to do a little bit of charitable work this summer, we're going to talk a little GI barbecue when we get back. Windows down, dancing around, causing a scene. That's my girl, sipping Crown of Sprite in a ball cap, turn back. Ooh, she got me like, yeah, baby girl, you're gonna done it again. Making all the guys wishing you were with them, but I bet they don't. Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
And today's man law is perfect for a family reunion.
Okay.
Though your branches may grow in many directions, keep your roots as one.
Grasshopper. There's something about that, because that's what we're doing when we're going back to the family rebellion, is getting back to those roots. There's always a matriarch or a patriarch of the family that is still alive, hopefully, that is there to give everybody just that little nudge of this is important.
Well, and then there's also some comedy, too, where, like, I have two cousins who married a set of brothers. They weren't twins, but my cousin and her older sister each married an Alden boy, which, you know, that gets pretty tight. And those cousins... it just so happens.
So is it my sister or my sister-in-law or my brother or my brother-in-law?
Yeah, doesn't that get a little confusing? I mean, it's totally cool. There's nothing. You know, I mean, I remember dating my brother's girlfriend's sister once, and that could have ended up the same way.
Right.
But it didn't, fortunately for me. But now, like, my mother's brother married my dad's sister.
Okay. But is there a reason your forehead's so big?
Yes, I'm Finnish. But in those remote areas like that, you know, people, you didn't get to travel like we do now. You didn't have texting. You didn't have phones. I mean, you might have had a landline if you were rich.
Right.
Way back in the 20s and 30s when that stuff happened.
Party line.
But, you know, so when you went to a wedding or something, that's when you got to socialize and meet people. And so
family rebellions,
they're crossing lines all the time.
Family
yeah.
rebellions. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah. My other brother tried hooking me up with his sister-in-law,
And, okay, I was going to go with the in-law. I was waiting for you to say that.
Yeah. they paired us up at their wedding. So, yeah. You know, it's just funny. Family reunions have those. I bet you a lot of people have some funny stories out there of different ties like that. If you do, you put them on our Facebook page. Matter of fact, if you're doing a family reunion and maybe this weekend or next weekend, and you take some great shots of you at the grill, put those on our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
Because we like sharing all that love out there.
Right. Got a GI barbecue update for us?
Share some more love.
Okay, man. Yeah. Do that. We're still trying to raise a little bit of money to cap off this trucking expense to move this equipment out to Camp Pendleton.
Yep.
So if you could find it in your heart to go to GIBBQ.com, make a small donation, 100% tax deductible. We will be delivering some barbecue to the troops.
Our target date is September 9th, so we're kind of hiking up the pressure a little bit. It's August. We need some help. If you can spare $5 or $50, whatever you can, go to GIBBQ.com. Click the donate. It's a 501c3 operated by Operation Injured Soldiers. Hats off to them. They've been handling the money for us, and they're good folks. And they also don't take a penny of that money, so every bit of your donation goes to the troops.
Gets to work.
And that's what we want
to
do.
Gets to work. And we're going to be delivering please. Two big smokers and all the fixings to go out there. And we're going to leave them there so that for perpetuity, the troops can get a little taste of home when they're out doing the things that they do to keep a couple knuckleheads like Bob and I.
Jop, you've hooked us up next week. Who's our special guest next week?
Mr. Steve Siciliano. And he's going to be bringing a guy named John Palmer who has written several books about home brewing.
Great.
So we're going to be focusing a little bit on craft beer next week. Imagine that as a grilling guy in the summer with a craft beer.
That's going to be interesting. So make sure you tune in next week. And if you might be that guy that wants to brew some beer, that'd be a good show to listen to.
Right. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We are the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Get out in your backyard and create some grill envy. We'll talk with you next week.
I gotta start waiting on you. So BYOB.